Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
In our scripture reading this morning, I think it has for us a great story. I love it just from the story aspect of it. I think it's just engaging. It has a lot of wisdom for us as well. But as I was going through thinking about it this week, I couldn't help but think of all the other stories that it reminded me of. I'm a little bit of a nerd, I would call myself that. I love to read and watch movies and play games that have a great story to them, and I like to get engaged in it and just get immersed in that story. I immediately thought, after reading this, with this calling of the disciples by Jesus, where he comes to the lake and calls the fishermen and gives them this advice. These fishermen that are probably seasoned fishermen, this rabbi comes to them and says, "All right, here's some fishing advice for y'all." And he calls them to follow him. They were probably thrown into a world that they didn't expect. And they were following this mentor that was totally different from them. And it reminded me immediately of the Karate Kid, the one from 1984, with not the one with Jackie Chan, the 1984 one with Pat Morita as Mr. Miyagi. You might have seen this movie. I went back and watched it, and I was surprised at the fact that they let me watch this as a kid, because it's apparently there wasn't a PG-13. Michelle told me this morning that PG from back then is not the same as PG now, and there's some language in the movie, but if you can get past that, I think you should go watch the scene where Daniel, the main character, confronts Mr. Miyagi about all this stuff that he's been doing. He's been wax on, wax off, sanding decks, and he finally breaks. He says, "What is the point of all of this that you've got me doing? This is ridiculous. There's no way that this is going to prepare me for the big fight." Well, there's another story that also reminds me of, and it's for the same reason, that there's this mentor relationship where they are skeptical of the mentor, but the mentor really is giving them this good advice. They just don't know it yet, and that's in Star Wars. Is the very first one, A New Hope, where you find Luke Skywalker, this young kid lives with his uncle and aunt, and this old drifter that they know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, comes into his life and takes him on this journey where he goes out, leaves his small village, and goes out into the galaxy for this huge adventure. And Obi-Wan, I remember a scene in particular where they're training him to use the lightsaber, and Obi-Wan Kenobi is saying, "All right, you can't trust what you've trusted before, these senses that you've relied on, the sight and sound, they're not going to do you any good. What you need for this adventure is you need to rely on the force. It's the force is this mysterious big power that controls everything in the galaxy, and he tells Luke, you use the force, Luke. And Luke is trying to train with this lightsaber. There's a little drone flying around, zapping him, shooting these little jolts of energy at him, and they're hitting him and electrocuting him or frying him. And he's getting frustrated with the whole ordeal. And Obi-Wan says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a helmet on your head so that you can't see, so that you can't rely on your sight. You're going to have to use the force in order to overcome this obstacle. And the skeptic of the group, Han Solo, says, this is a bunch of hooey. This is all mumbo jumbo, that some story that y'all invented, and it doesn't do anybody any good in the end. And so I think Luke says, like the disciples in our story this morning, if you say so. He goes along with it, and they put the helmet on his head. And what do you know? That thing zips over to the left, and it shoots that bolt at him, and he blocks that thing because he used the force. He tapped into that power that was greater than himself. And then that's when he really cements that, wow, there's something else out there. And he goes on this long journey to explore that, to discover his connection to that. I think in our story this morning, we had some skeptics that might have been like the Han Solo or the Daniel and the Karate Kid, that when we get introduced to the disciples, they're fishermen. And here we have Jesus, the rabbi, telling them how to fish. It says, Simon Peter says to Jesus, hey, we've been out all night. We're not going to catch anything. You told us to go catch some stuff, but I don't think we're really going to catch anything. He was skeptical of this advice from the Jesus, the new mentor, coming in. They say, but if you say so, Lord, I'll go out there and I'll give it a try. I don't know a lot about fishing, but from what I've gathered, the technique of the day was to use these nets, and the nets dropped into the water and kind of drug along the ground, and they would try to get as many fish into that net and pull it up quick, and then pull the fish out of the net. And the fishermen were probably out all night because when the water gets cold at night, the metabolism of the fish slow down, they get a little lethargic, and they sleep. I don't know if you knew that, fish sleep. And we had a fish at our house, and then we got a cat, so we don't have a fish anymore. But while we had the fish, I watched the fish, and it would lay down to take a nap. I didn't know if you knew fish did that. It would lay on a leaf or on the bottom of the tank. So that I think that was the technique of the day. And so by this time, it was the middle of the day. Jesus had taught all these crowds, and they're out there in the deep water with Jesus. They've gone out to this area where there's some unknown. They're out so far that they can't see the bottom. They can't see what's in front of them and ahead of them. But they say, Jesus, if you say so. And they put down those nets and they gather up those fish. And there's so many that it's bursting the net. They have to bring two boats over to haul them in, and the boats are sinking. And then Jesus says, if you leave everything and follow me, I'm going to show you this new way of being. You're not going to be fishers of fish anymore. You're going to be fishers of people. It's a good story, isn't it? Just like Star Wars and Karate Kid, there's something about that story that just draws you in. We as the reader, we know in our heads, we know something about Jesus that the disciples don't yet. And I think that's what makes it good. There's there's this information that we know Jesus is the Messiah, but they don't know yet. And we enter into this story for our scripture today at the very beginning of the story, at least for the disciples. There's four chapters before this, but as far as the disciples are concerned, as far as we're concerned, I feel like this is where we enter into this journey. There's a book by Joseph Campbell called The Hero with 1,000 Faces. And it talks about, you know, there's a structure behind these stories that's followed across. It doesn't matter if it's Star Wars or Karate Kid or the Bible. There's this structure that goes through it all. And they always tell the story in a certain way. There's always a hero that comes from one place, usually the ordinary world. And they leave that behind to go on this adventure in this other world. In Star Wars, they go out into space. In The Karate Kid, he goes into this mysterious world of karate and martial arts. There's some element of the unknown that they're going into that's different from their day-to-day life. And they go there to learn something, to better themselves and to be changed into a new way of being. And after being changed there, they go back to that ordinary place to do something with what they've gained. Joseph Campbell says that our heroes through this journey go through a birth and a death and then a rebirth or a resurrection. I think it's pretty clear how that connects to Jesus. He literally did those things. Joseph Campbell was just laying out, you know, an order of the story, but Jesus literally did those things. A lot of times in the stories, it can be metaphorical. When they quote unquote die, sometimes it's they're defeating something within themselves, whether that's a fear, an anxiety, but Jesus literally did those things. Even in the life of the disciples, in this story, we can see how they follow this pattern. They are fishers of fish. They start out in that ordinary world as fishers. They're called to adventure. After they begin their journey, they're called to adventure. And I think that's where Jesus tells them, put out into the deep water. This is usually followed by a refusal of that adventure, says Campbell. For our story, that's where I think the disciples say, hey, we've been working all night. They try to tell Jesus, nothing's going to happen here. We're not buying what you're selling, but they humor Jesus. And when they do that, they discover something that they didn't know before. They're cued into this whole other way of being. And Jesus tells them, you thought you were fishers of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of people. They're called into this other place, this other world, this other way of being. And there's a journey there where they must come up against something, an ordeal or a task, and they have to overcome that, discover something about themselves, gain something so that they might return and come out changed on the other side. To start that journey, though, they have to do, as Joseph Campbell says, cross the threshold. They have to take that first step out of the door on their journey. This is reflected in the story when they say the disciples left everything to follow Jesus. Because once they had made that decision to walk through the door, they really, truly were leaving behind everything that they knew, everything of their old way of being, to pursue this new call to be fishers of people. This whole process, this whole story arc is called the hero's journey. And there was a graphic in the book. They laid this all out in a nice little diagram. And I looked at that this week, and as I was staring at it, it reminded me of something. And I told you already of how it reminded me of the story of Jesus, the story of the disciples. The scripture reminded me of the story of Mr. Miyagi and Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. But the picture reminded me of, it was a circle with a line through it. And on top they had the ordinary world. They said, this is the ordinary world up here, and this is the extraordinary, the unusual, the miraculous and strange. And they said the hero just goes in a circle around that. They're constantly going out on that journey, coming back, changed. I said, if you turn that on its side, that is the calendar for the church. If you've ever seen it, there's a circle and it looks like a piece of, it's got pieces of pie cut out of it. And everybody I know has a favorite piece of that pie. On one side you have Advent and Christmas, Epiphany that we're in now, Easter, Pentecost, all these great times and seasons of the church. And I know people get excited. People get really excited for Christmas and Easter. They can't wait to go on that journey, to be in that part of the story with Jesus. And then there's this whole other half of the year. It's almost half of the year is spent in what is called ordinary time. And I've never heard somebody once say, I'm really looking forward to ordinary time this year. I just can't wait till there's nothing exciting going on in that ordinary time. The truth is there is something exciting happening there. But you don't hear about it much, do you? And I was looking at that liturgical calendar, that calendar of the church, and I said, I think we're on a journey ourselves. I think we've been called out of that ordinary time into this journey with Jesus and the disciples to go through that story of Advent and Christmas and ultimately the death and the resurrection of Jesus so that we might return back to that ordinary time change, that we might have a new way of being. As we're on this journey, though, inevitably, just like the disciples, we have to take that first step out the door. We're at what Joseph Campbell calls the threshold a lot of the time. The doorway. We all have doorway stories, don't we? Sometimes our doorway story is that we're excited to get through the door. Maybe it's a big moment in our life and we just can't wait for what's on the other side of that door. We just can't wait to get into that new way of being, that new mode of life that's going to happen when we get into that exciting other world on the other side of that door. That can happen when maybe it's a promotion at work and we can't wait for that new position. Maybe it's the birth of a grandchild and we just can't wait for how that child's going to change the lives of the family. Maybe that is, that doorway story for you is or was getting your first set of car keys or graduating from school. There's something that's going to be different on the other side of that. And sometimes we're so excited to get there that it doesn't matter that we can't see what's ahead of us. We're jumping in head first. Maybe our doorway story this morning for some of y'all is one of being stuck in the doorway. We want to get through the door, but we just can't. For some reason, we are stuck in the doorway. We're wanting to take that first step, but somebody is holding us back, and we don't know how to get ourselves unstuck. I'm just now remembering all the times I walked past a doorway and caught a belt loop on the door handle. Has anybody done that? That's what it's like to be stuck in the doorway. Finally, there are some times where we don't want to go through the door, aren't there? I know for me, a doorway story of mine is is one day I got a call from my parents that we were going to have to go over to the hospital to see my grandfather. I was pretty young, they said, something's happened with your grandfather, and we need to go over there now. And so we went there, and they were explaining to my brother and I on the way that my parents picked us up, and we were on our way to the hospital. He had been declining for a while, but this was it. This was going to be the last time that we saw him. And I remember being there, and I didn't want to go through the doorway. There are times in our lives where we just don't want to go, but we've got to. We're called to go through the doorway, just like the disciples were called to go on this journey. There's something on the other side of that we have to get to. There's always going to be, if we trust the way this story is set up, there's always going to be an ordeal. There's always going to be something there for us to face. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to change who we are. But part of this hero's journey that Joseph Campbell lays out, and I think is at work in our story today, is that the hero is revealed to be a hero because of who they are. The challenge brings out their hero-ness. It brings out this character within them that was there all along. And through that confrontation, they are revealed. Their character is revealed, and they are made known to be who they are. Well, who we are is the church. Who we are children of God. We're baptized people of faith. And I want to tell you that I know that there's ordeals ahead of us. There's things that are going to happen that we don't want to face. But I think the scripture tells us this morning, just like it was said to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. Because ultimately, God is with us. God is holding us together, and God's going to see us through it. We're chosen by God to go on this journey. We're prepared for it. We are prepared for it. We are forgiven by God's grace and prepared by the Holy Spirit to go on this journey. And when we get to that place where we have to confront what's ahead of us, God's going to be with us. God will not let us fail so long as we stay faithful as God's church. I think, like the disciples, we constantly find ourselves in these doorways where we're called out of them through to what's on the other side. Hopefully, we can have that same response that they had. If you say so, Lord, I'll go. Amen.